Amen. Well, good morning. It's wonderful to be here with you today, be able to share what God's put on my heart. For those of you who don't know me, my name is John. I'm the assistant pastor here, and I always love when I get the opportunity to share out of what God has shown me. So I have a question for you. Has anybody here, you've been driving in your car, and muscle memory kind of takes over, you're not really thinking too much about where you're going or what you're doing, but all of a sudden, you find yourself on track and you get to your destination. Okay, anybody experienced that? Okay, a few of you. Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not alone in this. So a while back, I was driving my daughters to an event at their school, and I drive on South Quaker Lane multiple times a day, and usually when I drive on that road, I'm coming here to the church. So as I'm on that road, and how it works is you come to a traffic light, and if you turn right, you go to where my girls go to school, and if you turn left, you come here. So I get up to the traffic light, and we're talking about the event at school. I knew we were supposed to be going to the event at school, but I'm just not thinking. Muscle memory kicked in. I put my blinker on to go left, and I made the left-hand turn, and then my girls yell from the backseat, "Dad, you're going the wrong way!" And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. So it was a quick turnaround. I spun around. I got going the right direction. We got to our destination just fine. But I was thinking about this, and in relation specifically to our spiritual walk, that there's times where the scripture talks about the sin nature or the flesh versus the spirit, right? That when we become a follower of Jesus, we become a Christian, that we're made to be a new creation is what scripture says. It says, behold, all things are new. The old has passed away. You're made into a new creation. So we don't think the same way that we've always thought. And we don't act the way that we've always acted because we've been made new. Now, the issue is, we still have the part of us that is the old man, the dead part that died, right, is still, our flesh is still here. And the Bible talks about this battle between the flesh and the spirit that goes on until the day we die. Now, in that, there's some muscle memory. So, for instance, you go through a tough time, right? Somebody cuts you off in traffic. The muscle memory is to get angry, to get frustrated, maybe curse that person out, do different things, right, and get upset. If somebody hurts you, does something wrong to you, you know, your idea, the old nature, the muscle memory says, I'm going to get even with them. I can't believe they would do this to me. I'm going to get angry. And it's this muscle memory of the old way of living our lives is pulling us into this, right? We can relate to this? You guys have experienced this a little bit? Okay, me too. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is this concept of resetting our thinking. Because the scripture shows us ways to do this. It encourages us to do it so that we can think as Christ has called us to think and to act as Christ has called us to act. Because when we come into a relationship with Jesus, we're empowered, because His Holy Spirit lives within us, to overcome the flesh, to resist temptation, to continue to do the things God's called us to do. So you have the power within you, if you've begun a relationship with Jesus, to overcome that flesh and that muscle memory, and you can retrain yourself to go the right way. Amen? All right. So, Colossians 3 is going to be where we're really pulling from today. And I got to tell you, Colossians 3 recently has just been wrecking me. As far as it's a chapter that is full of some amazing instructions, some things that God's been showing me of how to treat others, how to love God, and some things for us personally as well. So we're going to dive into this today. We're going to start with Colossians 3, verse 1, actually, and it says this. It says, it'll be up on the screen as well. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So this is huge, because this talks about we're dead to the flesh. The old way, the way we used to respond to issues and that person cutting us off and these bad things that happen in our life, we have to die to that old way of thinking. And we are made new in Christ because we are hidden in Christ. And this speaks of ownership, actually. This hidden in Christ, it speaks of us belonging with and to Him. That we no longer have to think like we used to think. We no longer have to act like our natural desire is to act. But we can now be at a higher place, seated with Christ, as this talked about. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and we are seated along with Him because we're hidden with Him. So now we're called to a higher standard of living. Now, the problem with this is that flesh within us is very real, right? And there's a little part of you and me, so a little part of us that says, I don't want to do it God's way. I want to do it my way. I want revenge. I want to get even with this person. They need a piece of my mind. Sometimes we even cloak it a little easier, too, as far as saying, oh, I just want to keep other people safe, too, from this. And really, it's just a guise to get even, right? But there's that little part in us that desires what the flesh does in that old way of thinking. So we have to combat that in our lives. All right. So Colossians 3, I mentioned to you, we're really going to camp out in verses 12 through 15. Now, between verse 3 and verse 12 is this amazing list that Paul gives of what the flesh looks like, the desires of the flesh, the things that we chase after and that we do, and he gives this incredible list in that passage of Scripture. We're not going to look at it today for the sake of time, but I encourage you to go look at it because we probably will discover a few areas in there, a few listings that's like, oh, that hurts a little bit. That is an area that I have flawed in my life, that I'm pursuing, that I'm actually shouldn't go after. So, and we want to grow. We want to be challenged, right? So I encourage you, check that portion out. Go from, read all of Colossians 3, but definitely from verses 3 through 12. Check that out because it gives this incredible list there. Now we're going to focus on 12 through 15, and it says this. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's like, really, God? You're telling me to be patient? Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's getting personal now, guys. Watch out. And then in 14, it says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Oh, and by the way, be thankful. Right? It's kind of tagged on the end there. That's how it reads to me. So this is a power-packed passage of Scripture. And this gets real personal, gets real deep. And today, there's sometimes I preach where I bounce around a few different Scriptures, but today we are going to just camp right here on this passage of Scripture. We're going to dissect it and see what God has to say to us. And I'm going to read over verse 12 again. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So my very first point today is you are chosen, holy, and loved. This is essential for us to grab a hold of if we're going to flow into the rest of what this passage has to say. You need to realize and know that you are chosen, holy, and loved. The cool thing about the gospel message is that it all started with creation. God made the earth, he made the heavens, he made everything, he made mankind, male and female. He made them, brings them together in the garden. And then they sin. They mess up. They make a mistake. He gives them one command to follow. They can't resist the temptation to do that, so they don't. They give in, right? And they mess up. Both the man and the woman, they both fell into this. So sin enters the scene. And the penalty of sin that God established, he said this right at the start. He said, the penalty for sin is death. And he warned them. He said, you will surely die if you eat the fruit that I'm telling you not to eat. But mankind, right, just like we are, says, oh, I'm going to find out. And they do find out, right? They find out that death is actually a spiritual death. It's a separation from God. The relationship is severed. Trust is broken. And we might look at that and say, well, if God's a loving God, couldn't he just forgive them of that? And the answer is, yes, God's a loving God, but he's also equally just as he is loving. So which thank God he is, because that's the life we want to live, is that justice is involved as well. So in that, death had to happen for forgiveness of sins. So in the Old Testament, they set up the sacrificial system. God set this up that a life of an animal had to be slaughtered to cover over their sins for a period of time. so that they could have a relationship with God. So that goes on, and then man is unable to keep that part of it, so God comes up with a better system. And he sends his son Jesus to die on the cross, to be the ultimate sacrifice, to be the one to pay and remove sin, not just cover it over anymore, but remove it entirely, so we are no longer separated from God. And this is the idea of being made holy. It's nothing you did to deserve it. It's nothing you did to qualify for it. It's simply accepting the free gift that Jesus provided for you on the cross, because he was the ultimate sacrifice and made it possible for you to experience salvation. This is big news. This is the good news of the gospel. This is what God did. And in that, he made us holy because he loves us. Now, this is incredible, and as I said, my point is we are chosen, we are holy, and we are loved. Because we were loved and we were chosen, we've been made holy. And all we have to do is receive that free gift. Now, this is a perfect pause point of this message to give an invitation, because I've explained the good news of the gospel. Is there anybody here? And I'm not here to embarrass anybody, but I want to invite you. If you're here and you don't know Jesus yet, I want to invite you to raise your hand if you would like to. If you would like to begin a relationship with Jesus, I'm not going to call you up to the front or anything. But if you're here and you would like to do that, I just invite you to raise your hand up so I can see it. We'll pray together. We'll invite Jesus into your life. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you. Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Anybody else? All right. So together, I want to take a moment. As I say, we're just pausing right here for a moment. We're going to pray together. And I want to invite everybody here to pray along with me. This is something that the Bible says in Romans, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's that simple, as we're confessing with our mouth. So that's why we repeat this prayer. We're inviting Jesus to come in, and your life is going to be forever changed as a result of this. So let's bow our heads. We're going to close our eyes. There's nothing magical about that. That's just to eliminate any distractions, and we're just going to repeat this prayer after me. So, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you were raised back to life again afterwards, to pay the penalty for my sins. I repent of my way of living, and I surrender to living your way now. I ask that you help me to do so, and that you come into my life and restore the relationship with me and you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for doing that. That's a huge decision. I would love to talk with you afterwards if you're open to it, and kind of help guide you on this new journey you're on here. So I have some resources for you. So come and see me after service. I'd love to chat with you about this. It's a huge decision you made. So God bless you. It's awesome. So we've been made holy because of Jesus' sacrifice. So maybe you're here and you're saying, I don't feel very holy. I messed up last night, I've done this terrible thing, and I don't feel very holy. The reality is, it's not about how you feel, because you've been made holy by Jesus' sacrifice. So whether you feel like it, whether you mess up or not, we all make mistakes, but you have been made holy if you are in a relationship with Jesus, that when God looks at you, he sees through the blood of Jesus and sees you as in right standing with him, free to approach his presence, free to experience his love, because of what Jesus did for you and for me. Amen? All right. So the second half of this verse says, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And this clothe here is used, and it's used in verse 14 or 15 as well. It's talking about put it on. You like wear it like you would a coat or a cloak or something like that. So it becomes part of you. It's where you go, it goes. How you act, it's just with you always. And I was thinking of this, and it's funny because we're in New York here. I think we're well aware of our culture here in New York. And I don't say this to put anybody down, but we're not necessarily known for being the most friendly of people, right? You know, maybe a little bit skeptical, maybe suspicious a little bit because we're on guard. We don't want to be taken advantage of. Like, you're not going to get one over on me. So we're not always notorious for being the most gentle, the kindest, the humble, you know, all of that. You know, here in our culture, that's not the most prevalent of things, right? But Jesus says to put it on. Now, we're called to do this, and it's countercultural, so it doesn't feel right. Because it's like, oh, I'm called to be humble, I'm called to be kind, I'm called to do this. And you try it on and it's like, ah, I feel like I'm not me anymore, right? You ever get a new pair of shoes and it's kind of like stiff, tough to break in, and then you get walking in and it's like, I don't know how I feel about these. And then you walk around in it for about a week or so and it starts feeling more natural, normal, because it's adjusted to your foot. It's like, okay, this fits now. Similar to like a baseball glove. If you played baseball, you know, when you first get the mitt, you got to oil it, you got to work it, you got to put it under your mattress for a bit with the baseball in it so it gets the shape it's supposed to and all of this. You got to work with it a bit. And I think it's the same with these things. It's by putting it on, we're saying, okay, I'm wearing it, I'm making it a part of me, but it's going to feel unnatural. It's going to feel a little stiff at the start. But you got to continue to do it, and then it becomes natural. Becomes part of how you are, part of who you are, because we're to remember what the first verse that we read talked about. We're hidden with Christ. We're to be conformed to His image now. We're no longer our own, but we belong to Him now. So even though it feels uncomfortable, feels a little weird at the start, you got to keep practicing it, keep going for it, keep doing these things that God tells us to do, to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Even though it's countercultural, even though it's not normal for us, it feels a little awkward or clunky maybe, it will become more natural as you do it more and more. Okay? So hang in there. Keep doing that. The second verse that we read here is Colossians 3:13, and it says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." And I know for some of us sitting here, we're saying, I don't like this. I don't like it. I don't want to forgive. That person doesn't deserve my forgiveness. And you're right, because essentially, forgiveness is an interesting dynamic. Because when somebody wrongs you, when they do something to hurt you or to harm you, whether it's by accident or on purpose, it feels as though that person owes you. And in reality, that's like the transaction that happens, is this person did something wrong, so now they owe you a debt. And you become the debt collector. You're carrying the note to the debt, and you're saying, this person owes me, whether it's an apology, whether it's years of your life, whether it's your childhood, whatever it is. And it could be a very dramatic thing. It could be very traumatic even. And you're right, that person owes you. And the Bible talks about this all over. Jesus spent tons of time talking about forgiveness. And it's always done in the context of forgiving a debt. Because yes, these people owe you, but at the end of the day, even if they paid it back, now you'd just be even. And if you're the one that was wronged, often you think you're the better person, right? Because this person, not necessarily that you're better than them, but you're the better person because they owe me. So why do we want to be back to even with the people that owe us? Instead, God's called us to forgive, to let go of it. He gives an incredible illustration in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. We're not going to turn to it today, but quick summary of it is that there's a king who has a man that owes him thousands of bags of gold. Could you imagine somebody owing you thousands of bags of gold? Be nice, right? But the man can't repay it. So the king calls him in. He's about to have the man sold to pay for the debt. And the man pleads for mercy. He says to the king, please, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And the king says, okay, I'll forgive you your debt. You're free. Enjoy your life. Wipes it out entirely, which is such an awesome picture of exactly what God did for us. We owed this incredible debt that we could never repay. For our sins, for the wrong things we've done in our life, we owed far more than we could ever pay. And he just wiped it out. Said, you're forgiven. Then this servant that was forgiven such a huge debt runs off to a fellow servant that owes him, it says, 100 silver coins. So the comparison here is like 30 plus years of wages versus like a week's worth of wages. That's like the comparison and the contrast here. So this man owes him some money. It could have been significant, you know, as well, but it was not nearly as significant as what he owed. And he goes to that servant and he puts his hands around his neck and chokes him, demanding that he pays back what he owes. And the fellow servant pleads with him, says, please have patience with me. I'm working on it. I'll try. And he refuses to forgive him and has him thrown into prison until he can pay back the debt. To which we see and we hear this story and we're like, how dare he do that? Like, this is the opposite of justice. This is so wrong. I can't believe that man that was forgiven so much would do such a thing. And then we start thinking about the people we're not forgiving. And we do the very same thing. Because we've been forgiven so much. And I'm not making light of what was done to you. I'm not making light of what you endured or experienced. I'm sure it was absolutely awful. But in comparison to what Jesus has forgiven you of, it still pales. And God has called us to forgive as he has forgiven us, is what this passage says. And there's a freedom that comes from it. I talk about forgiveness a lot when I preach because I've experienced the liberty and the freedom that comes from being able to forgive. And it's a hard road sometimes. It's not easy to get there. But I encourage all of us here that if we can get to a point of saying, I'm no longer going to be the debt collector. I'm not holding on to these anymore. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to let these go. Not to get even with this person, but because God's told me to forgive as I've been forgiven, you'll experience a huge freedom in Christ if we do this together. If we will begin to forgive the people that have wronged us and hurt us, we will experience freedom in an incredible way. And I want to encourage each and every one of us today. Think about that. Are we carrying a debt that we need to stop carrying? Because anytime we carry weight that we weren't designed to, it slows us down, weighs us down, holds us back from experiencing the good things that God has for us. So let's surrender that today. The last two verses in this passage say this, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. My third and final point for today is this, that we need to, above all, put on the virtue, or above all these virtues, we need to put on love. So what do I mean by that? And I don't have this in my notes. This was something God gave me this morning that I really feel strongly I needed to include in this as I was praying about this some more. This is a passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians that you've probably heard read at some weddings and stuff, but this is to put on love. And this is the same verbiage that we're to put on compassion and humility and kindness and all of that. It's wear it with you, that when you go, it goes. It's with you always to put this on. And this is what Paul is talking about when he says this, found in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, starting at verse 4. So listen to these words. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So when it says to put on love, that is what he's talking about. And I felt so strongly to include that because I've heard so many times from believers and non-believers like, oh yeah, I love that person, but I really don't like them. Right? But God's called us to have the love of Christ. The love that's patient, kind, enduring, that's there with them. To put on love. It's interesting, in the verse before this one that we just went over, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. So that bear with is very symbolic of love, where it talks about to put yourself up against, to help carry that person or support that person. What comes to mind is like if you're on a hiking trip with somebody and they twist their ankle, and their ankle, they can hardly walk, it's kind of dragging, they can't put any weight on it, and you come under their shoulder and you help support them up and walk alongside of them to bear the weight of their journey. And that's what love does. It comes alongside, because at the end of the day, we're all wounded. We're all a little broken. We have wounded areas of our life, and God's called us to bear with one another, to help those that need our help, to express love in a practical, in a real way, in a caring way. I really appreciate that God makes it so clear in His Word what this looks like. Leaves us without excuse, because we're to bear with one another. We're to forgive as God forgave us and help carry the weight. I wonder sometimes how much better we would love one another if we realize that we're all God's kids. Right? Because if God's the Father and we as His kids, think of a father. If you start treating my kids badly or abusively or anything, we're not okay. Because God loves them and He's called you to love them too. He wants His children to love one another, to be there to bear one another's burdens. And the church as a whole, and I specifically reach out, but as a whole, we don't always get this right. But Jesus made it clear when He was with His disciples, He says, they'll know you by how you love one another. They'll know you belong to me by how well you love each other. We're called to do this. It's not always easy, but we're called to. And it's very connected, as you see, these points kind of weave through. So we have to experience that we're chosen, holy, and loved. Then we have to flow in forgiveness, to forgive one another as God has forgiven us. And then out of that, we're able to put on love above all the other virtues, and we will experience the peace of God, which is what the next part of that verse talks about, as we put on love. And then it ends with be thankful. So as I was preparing this message, I'm going to close a little bit differently than I normally do, because I feel God put it really heavy on my heart that for us to flow in that forgiveness and that putting on of love, that we have to experience being chosen, being holy, and being loved by Him. And one of the best ways I know to do this is to flow in worship, because worship takes the focus off of us and it says, God, You are worthy of everything. You're worthy of my life. So at this time, I want to invite the praise and worship team to come back up. We're going to close with a song, and it's the last song of our set list. That's The Goodness of God. And it focuses on God, which is what this is all about. We're shifting our focus. We're taking it off of ourselves, saying how we feel, what we're going through, who's wronged us, how we're justified in holding a grudge. All of those things, you strip them down, put them aside. We're just saying, God, You've done so much for me, and I need to give my focus and my attention to You. And as we do this, I'm convinced you're going to be experiencing His love in a fresh way today. That you're going to experience His hand all over you and all over your life, just saying, wow, He's here for me. He loves me. He cares about me. And it's more than just a feeling. This is an experience. This is something God's going to do, I believe, as we do this. So we're going to worship together in this song. And I invite you, you can stand, you can sit, you can come up to the front. However you feel to express your worship to God, you can do here. And once, as the song's winding down, I'll come back up and I'll close us out here together. But let's enter into worship here together, because He is worthy of our worship. And as we do that, we will experience His love as we express our love to Him.
You, Lord, oh, Your mercy never fail me. All my days I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you've been close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Oh, Jesus.
All my life you have been so, so. Of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so. The goodness of God, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yes. As we were worshiping, there's a very good chance that God brought a person to mind for you. A face, a name. Maybe you were thinking, oh no, Lord, not them. And that's the person God's calling you to love, to demonstrate these characteristics of Christ to. And it's hard at times, I get it, but He's calling you to do it. Let today be a primer for you that this is not the only time you come into worship in His presence. That you find yourself doing this at home, you're able to just worship Him for how good He is. When you're driving in the car, that you turn your focus to Him. Take the time to have these moments with God and experience Him washing over you so you experience His love, so you are refilled to pour out to other people. Because this is how we get full of Him, how we get His presence. We have to experience it to give it out. So let today be a beginning for you, that this is something you make a habit of doing, just worshiping Him for who He is and what He's done even if your current circumstances aren't changing, that you do it just simply for who He is and what He has already done. And you'll find He puts you in a better position to receive and do what He's called you to do. So right now, Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for this time to enter into Your presence, to hear from You, to be empowered to do what You have called us to accomplish, Lord. We surrender to Your way today, acknowledging that it's far better than our way. Help us to clothe ourselves with Your characteristics, with these things we talked about today. Help us to forgive those that have wronged us as You have forgiven us, to be thankful and to put on love above all else, Lord. We ask for Your help with all of these things. Supernaturally empower Your people to accomplish Your will this week in their lives. In Your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. If you would like prayer for anything, come see us. We'd love to pray with you. God bless you.